1, 2, 3. Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Shout out to all of my current sports dogs out there. Welcome to this Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is May 11th, 2018, and I want to talk to all of the procrastinators in the house right now because, yeah, look at that calendar again. Again, May 11th, 2018. That means there are two more days left until Mother's Day is officially here. And I must admit, Mom, I really hope you're not watching right now. Mom usually doesn't watch right now because she's usually working weekdays at 1 p.m. So I really hope you're not listening or watching right now because I have not done my Mother's Day shopping at all. And it's particularly difficult for me, seeing as though my mom, you know, she is, I shouldn't say recently anymore. Well, in the last 2 years. It's been 2 years now since she has relocated from Detroit, Michigan, now to beautiful Miami, Florida. So if I want to get her something, I have to make sure that it gets there on time, right? And again, I only have two more days left. So hopefully you aren't like me, and hopefully you have not procrastinated to the point where you're just kind of like pulling out your hair as to what to do and get your mom. So, but if you have not gotten her anything, shame on you. Get it done. You got two more days. Current sports engineer Ian Hawley, the man behind the glass, have you gotten your mother anything? And that, you're dealing with the same thing, right? Your mom is down south?
No, my family actually moved to Michigan after I graduated high school. Okay. So they're about an hour north of here, up by Mount Pleasant now. But
you're fine then.
I've been all over it. I've been trying to take care of Mom. So I got my present planned for her, but I haven't actually bought it yet.
Okay.
I'm just waiting until I go home on Sunday to pick it up on the way home.
Nice. What did you get her? Can you say that? Is she listening or watching?
A lot of my family listens, so I don't want to spoil it. So I'm gonna bite my tongue for now.
So basically, you're saying even though Mom doesn't listen, you got a bunch of big mouths in your family that will probably double back and be like, "Hey, Mom, I know what Ian's getting you, so we don't want to do that."
Yeah, she's got eyes everywhere.
I dig that. All right. Well, happy early Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there watching via our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News or listening on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM, or even listening to the podcast version at WKAR.org. Hope you guys have a great Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. We've got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. We will, of course, be putting a bow on the conversation concerning yesterday's breaking news. Matt Patricia. It was reported by the Detroit News that back in 1996, he was actually charged with sexual assault. A spring break trip down in Texas back in 96 got him in some hot water. But the charges were dropped due to the woman, the alleged victim in the situation, not showing up to testify. So we'll have a Matt Patricia combo wrap up. We'll also dive into Mark D'Antonio falling on the CBS college football coaches ranking list, which is a bit puzzling, right? Because Mark D'Antonio had one of the biggest turnarounds in college football history last year after coming off that 3-9 season. They win, you know, double-digit victories and go to the Holiday Bowl. What a year it was. What a story it was for –
the Spartan college football team. So I'm a bit puzzled why he's down, why he actually, you know, dropped on that list. So we'll dive into that. Also, we'll talk some golf. Yes, golf. Can't do that today, can you? Seeing as though it is pretty cold and rainy outside here in mid-Michigan. But nonetheless, I guess that just kind of gives you an excuse to stay in and not play golf and watch golf on television as the Players' Championship has been taking place. Round two today. And we will have Casey Lubon joining me here on Current Sports. He is the head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team. We'll get his thoughts on the Players' Championship. We'll get his biggest takeaways of the young PGA Tour season so far. And also, he'll help us preview next week's NCAA Columbus Regional, in which the Michigan State men's golf team has been invited to. It is the third consecutive NCAA regional appearance for Lubon's troops. So you don't want to miss that conversation. Should be a great one. And also, we'll get Casey's thoughts on a very touching story coming out of the camp of the Michigan State women's golf team that has a really, really heartfelt local feel, to say the least. So you don't want to miss that. And then on the back end of the show, we will talk about another Casey who isn't smiling today, that being Dwayne Casey of the Toronto Raptors, who was actually fired as head coach. Very puzzling. He's a coach of the year in the NBA. Only in the NBA can you become a coach of the year and still lose your job. Tom Gorris, you should be on the phone right now. So we'll talk about Dwayne Casey getting fired, and also we'll have Reflection Friday for you. All of that, again, you can be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News and watch the live stream, and you can weigh in via Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, less than 3 months after Michigan State University's general counsel retired amid the Larry Nassar sex abuse controversy, his replacement is stepping down as well. MSU has confirmed that Christine Zacho, MSU's acting general counsel, submitted her resignation last week and will be taking a job in the private sector. That's according to MSU spokeswoman Emily Gerken-Garrett. An assistant general counsel since 1998, Zacho was promoted to acting head of the department in February when Robert Noto, MSU vice president for legal affairs, announced his retirement amid questions about his office's handling of sexual misconduct cases, particularly the Larry Nassar case. Zacho, quote, verbally indicated to administration a few weeks ago that she was not interested, end quote, in replacing Noto on a permanent basis, Gerken said. She does have a new job lined up, and her departure date has not yet been set. All right, well, we're still three seasons away from 2021, but the Michigan State football team has officially rounded out its schedule for that campaign. The Spartans will host Western Kentucky in the first ever meeting between the two programs on October 2nd, 2021 at Spartan Stadium. Mark your 2021 calendars. The WKU, which plays in Conference USA, has played in four consecutive bowl games, losing to Georgia State 27-17 in last year's Auto Nation Cure Bowl. Michigan State's other two non-conference games will be at home versus Youngstown State on September 11th and at Miami in Florida on September 18th. It had previously been announced that the Spartans would open the 2021 season September 4th at Northwestern of 2021. Again, you can look at the full schedule. We have that posted at our Facebook page at Facebook.com. MichiganStateHoops.com/WKAR News. All right, the Michigan State softball team advanced to the Big Ten Tournament quarterfinals with a 4-3 win over number 9 seed Nebraska yesterday in Madison, Wisconsin. A solo home run by Katie Ladd and a 2-run homer by Kelsey Carrasco helped MSU build a 4-0 lead through the first three innings, and despite a 3-run rally for the Huskers in the fourth, the Spartan pitchers kept Nebraska's offense at bay, forcing the Huskers to strand 11 runners. Bridget Rainey earned the win in the circle, tossing 4 innings of relief and allowing just 1 base hit, striking out 3. MSU will now face Michigan in the quarterfinals for the second straight season. Both regular season meetings in 2018 went to the Maize and Blue, 1-0 in Ann Arbor and 8-0 in East Lansing. The first pitch for today's game is scheduled for 5:30 p.m. Michigan State baseball heads to Minneapolis, Minnesota to take on number 16 and Big Ten Conference co-leader Minnesota in a 3-game weekend series at the Golden Gophers Siebert Field. Today's opener is slated for 7:30 p.m., followed by Saturday's 3 p.m. first pitch. The series finale on Sunday will take place at 2 p.m. The Spartans in the midst of a week of action in which they'll tangle with both teams atop the Big Ten Conference standings, as Michigan and Minnesota are tied with 14-3 Big Ten records. Michigan State lost to Michigan on Wednesday in a non-conference contest before the weekend's 3-game series at Minnie. Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the Michigan football team, has yet to beat Ohio State in his tenure as head coach of the squad. But yesterday, his stake in Ohio grew just a bit bigger as he received the key to one of the state's biggest cities. Serving as the keynote speaker for the 2018 Access to Justice Awards dinner, Harbaugh was granted the key to Toledo by Mayor Wade Kapsukovich. Toledo is also the town where Harbaugh was born and lived for most of the first 7 years of his life. His father, Jack, was born and raised in nearby Crestline and began his coaching career at Harrisburg High School. But yesterday, Harbaugh was in attendance due to his frequent advocacy for legal justice as he spoke before the Advocates for Basic Legal Equality, Legal Aid of Western Ohio, and the Toledo Bar Association. Very cool story there. All right, Lansing United will take on the Michigan Bucks tomorrow at home. LanU, you remember, won the season opener at home on Tuesday against Livonia FC. This will be the first conference action for LanU. Looking forward to that one tomorrow night. I believe that's going to be a 7 p.m. start time. The Detroit Tigers now return home to kick off a 6-game homestand, beginning with a Mother's Day weekend series against the Seattle Mariners. It'll also begin a stretch of playing the M's 7 times in a 10-day period. So the Tigers and Mariners will certainly get familiar with one another. Many are wondering if this is the year that Seattle finally busts through and clinches a playoff spot for the first time since 2001, which is the longest active playoff drought among any club in the 4 major North American sports associations. There's no shortage of threats in their lineup, but as seemingly always is the case, it will come down to their starting pitching. All right, the Players Championship. I've been glued to my television and laptop throughout these last 2 days. I spent much of my work day, as I tried to work, in my office watching round one of the Players Championship in my office. Yesterday during the opening round, Dustin Johnson looked at ease, shooting a bogey-free 6-under par 66 for a 6-way tie at the top of the leaderboard. The logjam of Johnson, Webb Simpson, Alex Noren, Matt Kuchar, Cheston Hadley, and Patrick Cantlay is the largest ever at the course and the most players tied at the top of the tournament in 40 years. When it comes to the dream pairing of Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and Ricky Fowler, playing in the same group all struggled in the first round, though. Woods had an even par 72 that included a rinse tee shot at the 18th hole and a 10-foot bogey-saving putt. Fowler had a 74. Phil Mickelson played the last 5 holes in 7 over par to shoot 79. It looks as though Phil is not going to make the cut. The other marquee group of Rory McIlroy, Thomas, and Spieth didn't fare much better, as McIlroy shot 71, Thomas at 73. Spieth, who hit three balls in the water over his first eight holes, shooting 75. Just not a great outing for many of the big names that you normally see in a championship like the Players' Championship. When it comes to updated standings right now, Charles Schwartzel, he has the lead. He's tied, actually, with Patrick Cantlay, both of those individuals at 10 under. Charles is done for his second round, and Patrick Cantlay actually is on the 18th hole as I speak. So we'll see what happens. And when it comes to Tiger Woods, I believe he's going to make the cut. You know, that's what I last saw, but who knows? When it comes to his final round today, maybe we can, if you could double check that for me, Ian Hawley. Just want to know where Tiger ended the second round today, and to see whether or not he is above or below that cut line. And also, you can catch some NHL playoff action tonight. The Eastern Conference Finals begins at 8 p.m. with the Washington Capitals visiting the Tampa Bay Lightning. It will be Washington's first conference final trip in 20 years, while Tampa finds itself here for the third time in four seasons. The Capitals have had a much tougher road when it comes to the Tampa Bay Lightning. They started down 0-2 in the Blue Jackets series before ripping off four straight wins, including two in OT to advance against perennial dream killer Pittsburgh. The Caps lost the first game, then Washington won four of the next five, including game six, in OT to reach the conference final for the first time in 20 years. So clearly the underdog against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Lightning have had really an easy path to the conference final. They've started with a romp against New Jersey, where they won each game by two or more goals after a stunning game one loss at home to Boston to start off the second round. Tampa cleaned things up to win four straight and take the series. There are many people predicting that Tampa Bay will be that team hoisting up Lord Stanley when things are said and done. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in that series. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
I believe and have always acted with a respect for all people, knowing that everyone is someone's dad, mom, sister, brother, son, or daughter. I do not condone any of the type of behavior that has been alleged, and I never have. I have always been someone who respects and protects the rights of anyone who has been harassed or is the victim of violence, and we as an organization will continue to operate that way. In these times, we need to be even more sensitive and responsible in dealing with these issues and separate right from wrong. Thankfully, truth is on my side. I lived with the mental torture of a situation where facts can be completely ignored or misrepresented with disregard to the consequence and pain that it would create for another person. I find it unfair and upsetting that someone would bring this claim up over two decades later for the sole purpose of hurting my family, my friends, and this organization with the intention of trying to damage my character and credibility. I was innocent then, and I am innocent now. Let me be clear. My priorities remain the same, to move forward and strive to be the best coach, teacher, and man that I can possibly be.
Welcome back. As we just took a brief pause there, as we usually do after our headliners, to introduce our first topic here on WKAR's Current Sports. If you're just now tuning in, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports right here, coming to you live from Studio S on the campus of Michigan State University on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. I'm your host, Al Martin. You just heard the voice of Matt Patricia, first-year head coach for the Detroit Lions. This is a story that we had extended dialogue on yesterday's show on Thursday's Current Sports, as Matt Patricia held that press conference, and happening just really about an hour before we hit the air yesterday. And you heard my thoughts. For those that don't know where I stand on this story, you know, I think this was a total failure on the part of the Detroit Lions organization, a failure from the standpoint of, I don't know how in the world you don't know that something of this significance, Matt Patricia being charged for sexual assault back in 1996, I don't know how you don't do your homework and find out about this situation. You know, it really shocked me that Rod Wood was quoted in that Detroit news piece of saying, I have no idea what you're talking about, basically. You know, I'm paraphrasing there, but, you know, I have no idea. He had no idea that this was in the past of Matt Patricia. And also the New England Patriots apparently didn't know that either. You know, they came out and said that they were shocked at this report. You know, colleagues, former colleagues in the New England Patriots organization of Matt Patricia, absolutely stunned. Question marks everywhere. And, you know, I find it quite ironic because, you know, I brought up the fact that when it comes to the NFL draft, I'm in NBA mode, excuse me, the NFL draft combine, you know, they sit down with all of these potential pro ballers and prospects, and they hire private investigators to dig into the past of these potential prospects. They find out about, or try to find out about, these players' character. You know, and heck, even we saw a player in this year's NFL Combine, you know, talk about how he believes how he says that some teams out there in the NFL actually asked him about his sexual orientation. Do you like men? You know, just crazy stuff like that. Absolutely crazy stuff like that. And I don't know how you don't do your homework when it comes to hiring your head coach. Makes no sense. So what I like to do, I don't want to spend all day on this. We spent the better part of yesterday's show addressing this, but I do want to lay the facts out there for those of you who, because I've seen, and this is what I hate too, a story of this kind of sensitivity. I see people out on social media who don't know the entire story and don't know the facts, just spewing out their opinions and spewing out assumptions. Know the facts first. That's what kills me. People who make statements on social media and don't know the entire picture. This is what we do know. I like laying out the facts and letting you, after I do that, come up with your own opinion. All right? So this is what we know. These are the facts. Matt Patricia was arrested and indicted back in 1996 after an allegation of violent sexual assault. He was 21 years old. Patricia took a spring break trip with the Rensselaer Polytech Institute with a teammate and fraternity brother, Greg Dietrich, back in March of 1996 to a South Padre Island in Texas. The two were arrested after a female student, also vacationing there from another university, told police that the two men, whom she said she met on the beach one day, broke into the hotel room where she was staying and took turns violently sexually assaulting her. That's according to court documents and a news report acquired by the Detroit News. They were released from jail on a bond of $20,000. 5 months later, a Texas grand jury indicted the two men on one count each of sexual assault, which carries a maximum sentence of up to life in prison. For an indictment to take place, at least 9 of 12 jurors must find that there was probable cause to believe that a crime might have taken place. 9 of 12 jurors. And those findings have to be based on some kind of evidence that the jurors can point to. A court date was then scheduled for the following January. The case never went to trial, though. So the prosecutor dismissed the case. Neither the alleged victim nor Patricia nor Dietrich got the chance to tell their sides of the story in a public court seating because the alleged victim chose not to show. The accuser then requested that the court case be dismissed, and the prosecutor went through with the motion. That's, again, showing through court documents in the news. So the Lions, this is what we also know. Again, I'm just laying out the facts here. The Lions did not bring up the arrest to Patricia in his interview. Patricia said not only that the Lions never asked him about the 1996 allegation, but that no potential employer has in any job interview, for that matter. The Lions and the Patriots both released statements after the report came out to say that they did not previously know about the allegations. The NFL is reviewing the allegation. Although the Lions might be ready to put the discovery of the allegation behind them, the NFL was saying, we are going to look into this. We are going to check into it. We are going to see what is factual and what is not. The league made that announcement yesterday. The NFL conducting its own review to better understand what happened. So, those are the facts. And again, when it comes to the evidence that the grand jury had at the time to indict Patricia, again, at least 9 of the 12 jurors in this case voted that they saw probable cause. And I reiterate, you know, you just heard my stance. Again, I have no reason to believe that Matt Patricia is not telling the truth here. When you just heard that bite, when he says he's completely innocent, I am an innocent man. You know, it hurts me that this is coming out right now because I didn't do anything wrong. I have no reason to believe that Matt Patricia is guilty or innocent here. Or I should say, I have no reason to believe that he is guilty here because it didn't go to trial. He was never convicted of anything. He is an innocent man. All right. The problem that I have is the Detroit Lions organization and the New England Patriots organization here. You got to do your homework. Especially in 2018. So it's been, you know, more than 22 years now. The police report doesn't exist. And the key figures who worked the case state that they don't even remember the details of it. So it's unclear whether anything more will ever come to light. But, you know, you talk about reputation, something of this magnitude. Anytime you're talking about sexual assault, you know, even if you're not guilty and haven't been convicted, again, we all know how the court of public opinion goes, and your reputation is stained. That's just how it goes. In the court of public opinion, you know, you don't know how many people out there I've seen on social media that are going after Matt Patricia's character and saying that, oh, something happened. Like, just speculating. You can't speculate in something of this nature because Matt Patricia was never found guilty when it comes to this situation. All right? We don't know what happened back in March of 1996 because the thing never went to trial. All right? All I'm saying is that the Detroit Lions and the New England Patriots, or any job interview that he had since then, should have known that this was in his past. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, I have no reason to believe that Matt Patricia is not innocent here. But the Lions are guilty of incompetence. We have Jack Kerwin in studio right now, current sports production assistant. Jack has been listening to our dialogue on this topic since yesterday. Jack, I assume you are a Detroit Lions fan, right? I would assume. Right? Sure. Exactly. So Jack, I want to ask you, since you've been listening to our back and forth here and listening to those facts, I mean, what are your thoughts about this whole story?
I mean, I'm sort of with you. You and I talked about this a little bit yesterday after the show. I don't have a big opinion on the issue regarding Matt Patricia, just because what you said, this is, you know, in the court of law, he is an innocent man. And, you know, this seems like kind of a classic he said, she said, as it pertains to the case. But I agree with you. The optics of the situation for the Lions are really terrible, as well as the Patriots. But what I think is really interesting, how did this not affect his standing when he's trying to get a job at Amherst or Syracuse, like when he's just starting out and the case is only a couple years old?
They failed as well, right?
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. That's where I think it could have actually hurt him, just because, you know, at that point, the case is only a few years old, and, you know, he's applying to be a D-line coach at Syracuse, I think, is where he started, right? Mm-hmm. And so How does it not affect them there? Because, you know, the coaches at Syracuse just say they don't want to take a chance on a guy with red flags.
So this is I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Ian on Thursday's Current Sports. Mm-hmm. Should have Matt Patricia come out and said, look, this is in my past. You may want to look into this. I just want to put it out there. Is it his responsibility during that job interview to say that?
To the Detroit Lions?
To any organization that sat down with him and interviewed him after 1996 and this whole thing was dropped. Should Matt Patricia have come forth and said, interview's going well, but I just want to let you guys know this happened. This is in my past. I was never convicted, but that did happen. That situation, I was charged with this. Should he have come out and said something?
You know what? It probably would have been to his benefit, just because, like what you said, you'd think at least that when you're interviewing for a job, someone's going to Google search your name, mm-hmm. and that way you can kind of explain in your words, give your side of the story. So I would say yeah.
You would say yeah. I say the opposite.
Yeah,
I say it's not his job to. You know, if whoever's interviewing you,
yeah,
that is their responsibility to do their homework. If it's not brought up, I mean, Matt Patricia, I mean, of course, he doesn't want to talk about this. I mean, that's a very sensitive thing.
Oh, I agree with that.
You know,
that.
He's not going to bring it up and like, I want to let you know this. That is not the responsibility of Matt Patricia. That is on the Lions. That is on the Patriots and any other organization that sat down with him for a job interview.
And you know what? The other thing I would say is when he addressed the situation yesterday and a couple journalists asked him, were you in the room with the woman? Was the sex consensual?
Right.
I don't think that's. I think he's right in not even
say anything.
The case. Yeah,
yeah. The case was dropped. I mean, the young woman never showed up to testify. He's not going to go over. I mean,
right.
He could possibly implicate himself, right?
Well,
if he came out and gave details of what happened or what didn't happen in March of 1996.
And I don't think it would do him any favors, because I think both from the opinion of the writer possibly and in public opinion, I think people would just be cynical.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know what I mean?
Without a doubt.
So he says the sex is consensual, you know, they don't really believe him, you know, they're
right.
Skeptical. So
exactly.
That's what I would say.
Very true. Again, thoughts, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Mike, I do see you, but I want to hit this first break, and I'm just getting a text from Casey Lubon. He will be joining us live in studio here. Casey Lubon is the head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team. We'll talk the player championship with Casey. We'll also talk the NCAA regional that will be taking place next week for his team. That and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A. Of course, doing a wrap-up on this whole Matt Patricia and Detroit Lions scandal, if you will. That may be a harsh word. What? Some people are using actually scandal to talk to bring when it comes to this story in. Would you go that far to say it's a scandal?
Scandalous? I wouldn't say scandal. I would just say mistake or, you know, lack of foresight, maybe.
Incompetence.
But scandal's a little bit too much.
I'm going with incompetence. It's completely
That's a great word
incompetent
for,
the Detroit Lions. When you look at the situation, how it's all gone down, it's a lot. But you've heard my thoughts for the last, now, what, two shows. What are yours? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Briefly here, let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to weigh in. Welcome to Current Sports, Mike.
Yeah, before I get to weigh in on Matt Patricia, I just want to say I was on my iPad, and I was just telling you, producer Ian there, that you came on my iPad, man. You was talking about Charles Barkley and Shaq, man. I said, who's this guy?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of our listeners are really enjoying Ian. We start putting out our segment of the day via YouTube, hence the camera that's been here in studio. And it's getting a lot of traction. That video actually hit 2,000 views earlier this week.
Wow, look at us go.
Yeah, nuts. So our listeners are really enjoying those. And, yeah, I mean, if you follow our YouTube page, Mike, you saw that video pop up. So
yeah,
thank you for watching.
I've seen that, man. I looked at you. I did a double take, man. I said, what I'm doing, man?
Right. You thought it was just radio, right? We're everywhere. We're visual as well.
Y'all everywhere now, man. Is y'all going to be like Charlamagne, the guy with the donkey of the day or something?
No, that's too harsh. That's commercial radio. We can't go that far with public radio, brother. But what's on your mind? I know you want to weigh in about the Lions.
I want to talk about this, man, because the reason why is I was listening to a commercial radio station. They were saying, why don't they hire Isaiah Thomas to be the president of the Pistons? Then the person said that Isaiah had a sexual harassment case, too.
Yeah.
And they said, would they consider hiring him, though? Would you?
No. We addressed that on Monday's Current Sports because Charles, Kenny, and Shaq, because they're homies with Isaiah, they all work at Turner Sports. Of course, they want to see a former Piston like Isaiah Thomas, arguably the greatest Piston of all time, come in and assume the head coaching duties. But the track record of Isaiah Thomas as head coach in the NBA is not great. And then, HBO Real Sports actually did a whole profile on a few sexual harassment claims that have been made by a few women when it comes to him. Isaiah has not directly addressed those, but you don't want that. You don't want that kind of history. And then the fact that I don't think Isaiah's that, you know, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's great on TV. I don't think he's a great coach, though.
Okay.
So, but what you got one more quick point.
Right,
we got to move on, though, Mike.
I was going to talk about Patricia case.
Okay.
It's been 20 years since that happened, man. And the deal about it is until we hear from the woman, everything is just like everything, man. So it's just out there. He did some good reporting on that until we hear from the woman.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know if we will ever hear from the woman. Again, my stance is, look, Matt Patricia was never found guilty here.
Sure.
The young woman never showed up to testify. Mm-hmm. He was never convicted of anything here. The problem that I have is the Detroit Lions and the New England Patriots not knowing that this was in Matt Patricia's past. I don't know how you can do all this research when it comes to players at the NFL Combine and you hire PIs to dig into their possible mess when it comes to their history, but you can't do the same due diligence when it comes to hiring the head coach of your organization. That's the problem that I have. But Mike,
what's the difference between the players that get drafted by the NFL teams and the people, the front office people and the coaches?
Exactly. I mean, your head coach, you would think that you would do that kind of homework for the head coach, right? If you're going to do it for a player, you got to do it, who's not even going to be possibly a part of your organization, but you're still doing that kind of homework, you would think that the same kind of effort will be put into looking into the past of your head coach. Mike, we got to move on. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's invite our guests for today's Current Sports, those who are joining us via social media at facebook.com/WKAR News. Can see his smiling face as I speak. He's a dear friend of the show, doing some awesome things as head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team. And speaking of the Michigan State men's golf team, if you didn't know, that squad will take part in the NCAA Columbus Regional Next week, the NCAA released the entire 81-team field for the NCAA championships, and Michigan State is a part of it. The Spartans are the number 11 seed in the region. To talk about that and so much more is the head coach of MSU men's golf, Paul Casey Lubon. Casey, how you doing? I'm thinking about the Toronto Raptors and Paul. Oh, my goodness. How you doing, Casey?
Good, man. How are you? It's good to be with you.
Always good seeing you, man.
Yeah, no kidding. Nice to be inside on a rainy day, too.
Exactly, right? I'd rather be on a golf course right now.
Yeah,
but
me too.
This weather, you know, speaks otherwise. It's Michigan, because it's been beautiful pretty much this entire week, right?
Yeah, it's actually been a coach's dream today, to be honest with you. We had 3 great days of prep.
Right.
And the day before you leave is a sticky one because it's like a final exam. You're trying to cram, but the number one thing you got to take care of right now is your energy level.
Right.
So I was able to kick him out about 20 minutes ago, say, go home, go get a sleep, go get a nap, go watch Game of Thrones, go whatever you do in the afternoon, you know, pack your bags and let's be ready to go tomorrow morning at 7 with tons of energy. So it's kind of a blessing for us today.
I love that. And watching Game of Thrones is a good idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, they got me started, you know, so now we're all locked into it. But
you're just now watching it.
I just started last November. And I got through it pretty quick, and now I got to wait a year and a half for the next season.
I know, right? I think next year, 2019, right, is when the final season.
I don't got that kind of patience.
No, we don't.
I'm going to be on to something else.
I know exactly, right? We're all itching for it to come out, but we got a long wait. So Casey, I mean, you talk about that preparation. I want to get to that preparation for the NCAA regional in just a moment. But I first want to get your take because I mentioned at the top of the hour, you know, how I've been following the tour this year, probably more so, you know, now in comparison to the last maybe 3 to 4 years because of Tiger Woods.
Sure.
I mean, he's back in the fold. You know, he's just playing 4 full healthy rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, he's playing in the Players right now. It looks as though he's going to make the cut because the cut right now is at 1 under. But going into the tournament, who was your pick for the Players Championship?
Oh, man, you know, you like guys with ball control. So Ricky Fowler's a popular pick there. Sergio's a popular pick. You know, I'm always surprised that the Players on that venue, in that field, produces less known champions than the majors. It's a quirky little golf course, so picking is a mystery.
It's a crapshoot, though.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not a putting golf course because greens are so small. So you got to think about guys who can control their irons, Jason Duffner, guys like that. But anybody's guess is as good as mine. Who knows?
Right. And when it comes to that dream pairing of Phil Mickelson, he's not going to make the cut. Ricky Fowler, he's struggling in round one. Tiger Woods, he's been up and down so far. But you know, you talk about that course, you know, TPC at Sawgrass in Florida. Have you ever played that course?
Yeah, I played it maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
What do you think of it?
I think there's a reason it has the reputation it has.
Right.
The last 3 holes are amazing, incredible tournament setting. Kind of a quirky little golf course. A lot of irons, a lot of position shots for these guys who all bomb it now.
Right.
You'll hear, and I think Rory said this week, like when they first go there, it's not their favorite place.
Right,
you know,
right.
It doesn't really suit their games. Tiger has never really had success. So he made the one putt the 1 year.
Exactly.
And won.
Yeah.
It's not a pure golf course by their standards.
Right.
But it's a fun place. And it does exactly what the PGA Tour wanted it to do, is it feels like a big time venue. Especially
and
coming down 16, 17, 18.
Very true.
Yeah.
And you know what, Casey, speaking of fun, you know, here locally at Eagle Eye Golf Course, where you guys play a lot, you know, you and the team play a lot. The 17th hole, as you know, at Eagle Eye is a replica hole of the 17th hole at TPC at Sawgrass. So I'm curious. I mean, you played, you know, the real, you know, TPC at Sawgrass 17th, and you played the replica here at Eagle Eye. How do you normally shoot on that?
Oh, boy. You know, my last hole-in-one, was that last summer? I was there on 17.
Right.
That was my 9th hole-in-one.
Wow.
The one at Eagle Eye has a bigger body of water around it.
Okay.
Which changes everything. The green feels smaller.
Yeah.
They can actually play the hole at Eagle Eye a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one at Eagle Eye is considerably harder.
You think so?
Yeah.
Wow.
But
that's saying
always
a lot. Okay.
I'm always amazed. The green speed's slower, so that changes a little thing. But I'm always amazed how many guys hit the ball in the water under docile conditions. If right. that was a sand bunker around that whole green, you would see those guys making two all day long. Once yeah. it's water and you got all those people there, goes to show you they're not immune to that pressure in that situation at all.
Not at
but,
all.
But the one at Eagle Eye, the green is almost, I mean, it is identical.
Yeah. I know, it is. I mean, you yeah. can look at the picture. I mean, for those who aren't, you know, golf fans and golf enthusiasts listening right now, I mean, it's an island hole. So,
yeah.
you know, you got the hole, you know, you got the green out there in the middle of nothing but water yeah. all around. And, you know, how you get there is, you know, you got a patch of grass that you walk by to the left of it. And you hit over the water, and you're trying to make it there on the green. It's yeah. a par three, obviously. It's so tough. I at least throw like 5 balls in the water anytime I play yeah. at Eagle Eye.
I'd love to have like a ball collection service and just go around and you scoop them up. But
right.
I give Eagle Eye a lot of credit. You know, it's a star attraction for them. And yeah. we're going to host the NCAA tournament the same week, 2 years from now. We're going to host the NCAA tournament there.
Amazing.
It's going to be very exciting.
It's a beautiful course.
Awesome.
For you, Casey, when looking at this year's PGA Tour, what have been some of your biggest takeaways?
You know, I think we've all come to the realization. You know, I grew up in the Tiger era, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my kids, we were in Hilton Head, South Carolina for an event. And Tiger was making a run at Valspar. And a beautiful day, 75 degrees. And I want them out there practicing. We got a tournament coming.
Mm-hmm.
And they were glued to the TV like I've never seen these kids who can't – they're not even looking at their phones. That's how glued in they are. And the power of Tiger Woods really hit me. And so as he comes back, I don't think we need him – as an industry, we don't need him to be dominant.
Yeah.
We just need him to continue to mix it up with some of these guys. If you read Arm Contain's new book about Tiger, it's fascinating to me just that this whole life was training for that moment. And this generation's a lot more well-rounded. Ricky's a motorbike guy and motocross, and you know they all got Instagrams, and they're going all over the world, and they're doing things. Tiger was a golfer.
Right.
And watching Tiger grow into, you know, as you might have saw, he gave the guy with cerebral palsy a hug the other day.
I saw that, right.
When we start to see that side of Tiger Woods,
the human side of
our
Tiger.
Whole industry is going to go skyrocketing up. So right. that's what we've been watching, but there's so many good players now. I'd like to see him win. And I think he can win in July at the Open. I really do. I'd like to see him win one of these majors because golf would be the story for a month after that.
Definitely. Yeah. And we're talking about a guy. It's so amazing to me because we're talking about a guy who had 4 back surgeries and that spinal fusion surgery
crazy.
That nobody thought he'd come back from. And then he had 2 knee surgeries as well. I mean, do you think, you know, you talk about growing up in the dominant era of Tiger Woods and, I mean, you know, beating the field by double-digit strokes. I mean, it was amazing when he was at his prime, what he was doing at the sport of golf, in yeah. the sport of golf, in the marketing of Tiger Woods. Do you think we will ever see anything like that again in the game of golf?
No.
It's one of a kind, right?
I don't think you're ever going to see a sport that's so reliant upon one human being to drive the whole sport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, golf courses were being built. Equipment sales were through the roof. Young people taking up the game. First tee chapters. He went away, and all that hit, you know, a bottom.
Right.
So I hope we don't see it again from a golf growth standpoint. I hope there's more well-rounded development. But when you read the book, and I'm not plugging the books, I don't know any of these guys, but I was taken away by the fact, we can talk about how talented he was all day long.
Right.
This guy was groomed to do this from 2 years old on. That will never happen again. These kids
right.
are more well-rounded now.
There's so many more distractions,
yeah.
so much more distractions, especially with social media
yeah,
as
absolutely.
Well, you know.
So,
yeah.
But I'm glad I got to see it, and I hope that his golf swing looks as good as it ever has, to me, mechanically.
Right.
And he's swinging fast. I hope he finds the groove with that old putter because he'll win again. He'll win a lot again.
I hope so. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team, Casey Lubon. All right, let's talk about your squad now, Casey. Again, as I mentioned, the Michigan State men's golf team will take part in the NCAA Columbus Regional when the NCAA released the entire 81-team field for the championships. The Spartans are the number 11 seed in the region, which will take place next week, Monday to Wednesday, at the OSU Scarlet Course. Third consecutive NCAA regional appearance for you all, Casey. What does that mean for you in this program, that kind of consistency?
Yeah, when we talk about where the program has been, regional started in 1990. So this
right.
is only the third time we made it 3 consecutive years as a program, and that's the most we've made it consecutively. And this, to me, was a really touch-and-go year. We had 3 19-year-olds starting. A 5th-year senior was his first year starting. We weren't experienced. We didn't overachieve as much as I thought we could, but we were never bad.
Right.
And making the NCAA tournament was the minimum standard for us for a great season. So when we have what I consider a up and down year with young guys and we still make it, I mean, that's justification for where we think we're at. And,
right.
And we, you know, these guys are going to return next year. And I think we got a chance to win the Big Ten. So it was a cool day. Just real quick, the rankings are a computer formula, and you have no idea. And college golf on the men's side is so deep. You got to be one of the top 60 at-large teams. Well, no one knows what the computer is going to say. So going into the last day, we knew we were either first team out or the last team in.
Really?
And so throughout that whole day, we heard we were out, we had heard we were in. So the emotion of seeing that come up is huge validation for our program. And then we get Ohio State. Usually you get sent somewhere across the country. We get to go where we were 3 weeks ago, a place where I think we can make some noise this week.
Oh, so you guys are totally ecstatic. I mean, when you guys got the news, I mean, you're hearing all this throughout the day. Oh, you're in, yeah, you're out, yeah, you're in, you're out. Where were you when you got the news, and what was that reaction like?
Yeah, so it's funny. We had two guys in final exams that night, and the other three starters were there. One of them was a fifth-year senior.
Yeah.
If our name doesn't come up on that board on the Golf Channel, his career's over. And so I was there with the three guys and my two little girls and my assistant. And about 10 minutes before the show, I had gotten tipped off by somebody in the industry who says, "Hey, I heard you're in. Congrats." But
wow. You didn't tell them that.
I didn't tell anybody that. And and the last they had heard, we were probably out. So seeing his face, Charlie Green, fifth-year senior captain, seeing his face, you know, almost emotional tears, like, I get to keep playing. I get to be with these guys for a couple more weeks. And after living on the bubble for 7 weeks, that feeling now, all that stress of being on the bubble flips to this is all an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
If we go down there and play bad next week, we go down and play bad. If we go down there and do something special, you know, it's all upside for us.
You guys are playing like you have nothing to lose, right?
We absolutely don't have anything to lose. We have two All-Big Ten guys, freshman of the year in our league. You know, we got some stuff going for the future, but right now it's all guns a-blazing.
Amazing. I can't wait to see what you guys do next week, Casey. And, you know, since the Big Ten Championships ended last month, I mean, you know, and you kind of just did that, reflecting on the season, right? I mean, you're pretty pleased with how everything ran out, right?
I think when you talk about 14 events throughout the year, we play in the best events in college golf. We only finished outside the top half of the field once.
Right.
That's a team that showed up every week, even when they weren't playing well, never packed it in, never got a bad attitude, never, you know, just mailed in an 81. We fought as hard as any team I've had. We weren't as smart as any team I've had because they're all 19.
They're young.
You think about, Izzo always says, footprints in the sand. What does your program leave behind? This program taught us how to play as hard as we can every week. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason they got in.
Wow. You
know, 7 to Big Tens. Everyone at Big Tens knows we're the one team that's on the bubble.
Yeah.
There's four teams ahead of us that are getting in and 9 teams behind us that weren't getting in no matter what.
Right.
So we're playing for our lives, and we never packed it in. It's pretty impressive.
And it is.
And there was times when I felt like they were about to break, and they didn't. And as a coach, that's all you can ask.
You talk about growing up. I mean, a lot of them grew up, right?
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Love that. All right. Well, we have about 5 minutes left here. Again, we're chatting with Casey Lubon, who is the head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team. Casey, I want you to just kind of just touch on this story, because I know that the Spartan, you know, men's and women's teams are like family, right?
Absolutely.
And I didn't know this. I saw this story the other day, when it comes to a local golfer by the name of Jack Lincetis, who, you know, went to high school at Lansing Catholic High School, and she had been diagnosed with cancer and has been taking chemo. And, you know, I see, you know, I didn't even notice it until I read this article that, you know, Izzo and other coaches, you guys have been wearing these Setis Strong bands. How has that story impacted your program and the Michigan State athletic and golf family?
Sure.
And when did you hear about the story? And how is Jacqueline doing?
So, you know, it's been great. She's been around the last week, just to see her smiling. And you know, she's, I'm sure, like anyone who goes through that, she's got this great new perspective on life that's even better than it was before. She's just so happy. But the 24 of us, the 24 student athletes and the four coaches, four coaches all played here. Stacy, you know, is one of my close friends, and Dan and Caroline played together, and we're all a family. So when we found out, you know, you think about the things you complain about every day. You know, this kid, you know, he's three putting too much, and this kid skipped a class, and we got to do this, and this facility's not in the right condition. The ability to step back and go, man, what are we complaining about every day?
Right.
And this kid has got a life-threatening disease, and probably got us all. And then I'll say the first day, all 23 of the other kids had this huge thing made for her. They all signed. They all put those bracelets on immediately, and they all had something else that was more important than the daily things they worry about. And that's how Stacy, I give her credit. She built a women's program that's unprecedented. But she never forgot that the men's program was going to come along with. When I was here, before I was here, when I was playing, mm-hmm. it was always both programs were important.
Right.
And my assistant says it the best, you know, we don't have to do this. We choose to be one big program. And Mark Hollis and everybody who we worked for, Bill Beekman, they encourage that. So we're happy for Jack. Her family's obviously dear to this community. They're wonderfully supportive of us, and I think she's going to be just fine.
So she's around the facility now. She's practicing
smiling,
a little bit.
And, she lost some of her hair, and she wears everything like a badge of honor. I mean, it's awesome. I'm really proud of her.
How have you seen that story in Jacqueline's fight, you know, impact your players?
Yeah, you always think that stuff happens away from your setting. It's not going to happen to me. It's not mm-hmm. going to be anyone I know. Jack is a social girl. She was friends with everybody, kind of a tie between the two programs as a social butterfly, kind of, in the best possible terms. And so, you know, that was they hit home. And these guys have a pretty blessed life, all of them, men, women, coaches, we're all blessed.
Right.
It was a moment of perspective for all of us. And I think if the guys are compassionate enough, which I know they are, to take a look, put their problems in the right kind of scope so they can just go back out and play golf and be thankful for it.
Love that. Very well said. Again, head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team, Casey Lubon. Again, next week, Monday, you guys are in the NCAA regional.
Let's go.
Out in Columbus. You guys fired up, I'm sure, Casey, right?
Yeah, for sure. We're ready to go. We're leaving tomorrow morning, so we're gonna go do some things.
Definitely. We'll try to get you back on next week after things are said and done. Hopefully, we're talking about some really, really good news, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm planning on.
Casey Lubon. All right, well, we got about 90 seconds left here, Ian. Let's hit them. Let's go right to Reflection Friday, where we reflect on the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports and bringing you some of our favorite segments, moments, and maybe a few stories that we did not get a chance to chat about. Here we go. In as we look at the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports, we've had some great guests, including, as you just heard, Casey Lubon, head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team. We've covered a lot of stories, probably the biggest story, that being the whole Matt Patricia situation. What's your biggest takeaway of the week, my man?
The Matt Patricia story is definitely a big one. Didn't get to talk about it necessarily a lot today, but the Dwayne Casey firing really has me scratching my head for
right.
Toronto.
Right.
You know, if that's the case, then every other coach in the NBA should be fired.
Preach on, man. And I got some points I want to make when it comes to Casey being fired after seven seasons. It makes no sense to me. Yeah, that's my biggest takeaway. I just couldn't believe that when I read that this morning. We'll tackle that on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend. And as always, be easy, people.